Of life now quickens as before me ethereal light of dawn from night emerges. You, earth, were constant through the dark hours for me. Beneath my feet new life within you surges. I feel such joy in your embrace, deriving new strength that with fresh resolution urges my spirit on to ever higher striving. Upon a stirring world, the light is breaking. A thousand voices in the woods reviving. Along the valleys, trails of mist are snaking. But from the depths, the darkness has receded. Refreshed, the boughs and twigs below are waking in dusky hollows where they slept unheeded. And colors brighten as the air is clearing. With trembling dewdrops, flowers and leaves are beaded. A paradise around me is appearing. Look, where above the giant summits glowing announce that the most solemn hour is nearing, and soon into these shaded valleys flowing eternal light will spread its blessing, bringing new splendor to the world, fresh green bestowing upon the meadows to the hillsides clinging. Now downward, step by step, it is returning. The sun appears, but blinded from its stinging glare I turn, my eyes with fire burning. And so it is when from the night that bound us we near the goal of our most hopeful yearning. Fulfillment's gates stand open all around us. Then from eternal heaven's remotest spaces a mighty flood of flame bursts to confound us. Life's torch we would have lit to guide our paces. Engulfed by such a torrid conflagration, we burn with love, with hate in its embraces, feel pain and joy in fearful alternation. Then we look back to Earth and seek its kindly youthful veil to bring us consolation. Henceforth the sun shall always be behind me. With what delight I watch this torrent roaring along the rocky chasm. Dashing blindly from crag to crag, it plunges, headlong pouring, and then into a thousand streams diverges. High in the air its spray and showers soaring. But with what splendor from this storm emerges the colored rainbow's constant flux, now brightly painted, now with the misty shadows merges. A cooling haze around it gathers lightly. It shows us that our striving for perfection must fail. But then we pause and see more rightly. Our life is in that colorful reflection.
Pray silence for His Most Gracious Majesty, the Emperor.
Greetings to all from far and wide, dear loyal subjects gathered here. I see the wise man at my side. Why does my jester not appear?
Hard on your heels, the fat gut fell and sprawled his length upon the stair. They dragged him off and left him there, drunk or dead, they couldn't tell.
But in a flash, it's very queer, we saw another fool appear in splendid clothes, but so bizarre. I wouldn't trust him very far. With halberds crossed, the guardsmen bar his way, sire. You need have no fear. But what impertinence! He's here!
Another fool.
Oh, what a bore.
Where is he from? Who let him in?
The old one's done for, that's for sure.
He was too fat. This one's too thin.
He looks the very devil.
What is accursed and yet accepted? What is desired and yet refused? Who dares approach your throne today? And who has sent himself away?
Enough of words! Can you not see your riddles are no use to me? These gentlemen, my ministers, have plenty more. It's answers that we're looking for. And so, my loyal friends, I greet you all who come from near or far. Good fortune beckons, for we meet beneath a most auspicious star. But tell me why it is today, when we would rather be at play and laughing all our cares away with masquerades and celebrations, we plague ourselves with these deliberations. But since you all appear to see it otherwise, I must assent. So be it. Speak, Lord Chancellor.
The highest virtue, like a halo, shines about the Emperor's head, and only he may exercise it lawfully. Justice. What all humanity enshrines within its heart, what all desire, demand, is yours alone to grant, yours to command. But all our wisdom cannot help us when goodwill is banished from the heart of men, when a wild fever rages out of hand and daily spreads new ills throughout the land. Cattle are taken, sisters, wives, churches are stripped of priceless treasure. The thieves go free and spend their lives enjoying the fruits of crime at leisure. Sire, bold decisions must be taken. The royal throne itself is shaken in such anarchic times as these.
Commander.
A furious rage has seized the land. The bloodshed has got out of hand. The soldiers do just as they please. Our mercenary troops are growing more impatient by the day, and if their wages were not owing, then every man would melt away. Deny them what they want, and we would stir a hornet's nest. You'd see the realm we pay them to defend reduced to ashes in the end.
My Lord Treasurer.
What's more, possession of your lands has fallen to others' hands. New owners buy the country out. They live like independent knights and answer to themselves alone. While we have given up so many rights, we have no right to call the land our own. The wealthy keep their riches stored. They scrape and save and guard their hoard. Our source of revenue runs dry.
Our household steward.
Well, I too have troubles by the score. We ought to save, but though we try, each day we're spending more and more. We've pawned the pillows on the bed, and all we have to eat is borrowed bread.
Well, fool, can you add any more to that?
There's always something that we lack. It's clear. It's only money that is lacking here. Of course, you can't just pick it off the floor. But those endowed with wisdom's secret lore will know beneath old walls or underground where coins and seams of gold are to be found.
Well, provide it then.
I'll get you all you want. More, if you will. But even simple things require some skill. The stuff is there. The only snag is, who can find it and recover it for you? Think of those days when armies, like a flood, swept in and drowned the people in their blood, when some were driven in their panic fear to hide the treasures that they held most dear. Since Roman times, that always was the way. It has continued to the present day. It's down there, somewhere, buried out of sight. The ground is yours, sire. It belongs to you.
This is no fool, for what he says is true. That is indeed the Emperor's ancient right.
This is impiety. A golden snare to trap you. It is Satan's work. Beware.
Show us these precious places, then. Go to it and make your fantasies come true. You won't leave here until you do it. I'll lay down sword and scepter too. These royal hands will see the project through if there is any truth in what you say. If not, these hands will send you down to hell.
I would need your help to find the way.
Go to it then, for buried wealth must see the light of day. Sniff out those weighty pots of gold down there, then plough them up and let them see the air. At once, we have no time to waste.
In my life, I never thought to bear such happy news as I have brought, or have such pleasure that I may, in your most gracious presence, say, full settlement has now been made of all our debts. the usurers paid, free from their hellish claws. What bliss! Can heaven hold such joy as this?
We've paid advances to the men. They've all signed up with us again. The troops are looking much more snappy. The landlords and the whores are happy.
Well, you all look much more cheerful now. There's not a single furrowed brow. You all come running one by one.
The fool and Faust will tell you how the thing was done.
That should be for the Chancellor to say.
That I should live to see this happy day. See this momentous paper in my hand that has turned ill to good throughout the land. Let it be known to all who would be told this note is worth 1,000 crowns in gold, secured by buried treasure to be found in the imperial lands beneath the ground. Those riches, once recovered, shall be deemed as full equivalent to be redeemed.
You signed your name, sire, and by mysterious skills, it was reprinted on 1,000 bills. We issued the whole series right away, so all could share this benefit today. Tens, thirties, fifties, hundreds are to hand, and happiness has spread through all the land.
And they accept these notes as gold, you say? The court, the army, take them as full pay? Well, so be it then, but still, it puzzles me.
We couldn't call them back. They fluttered free. They were in circulation in a flash. The money changers honour them for cash, silver or gold. They're open night and day. There's always a commission, though, to pay. The money goes on wine and bread and meat, and half the world just wants to drink and eat. The other half wants nothing but new clothes. The draper cuts the cloth, the tailor sews. In all the inns, they gorge on stews and roasts and drink your health with cheers and hearty toasts.
Sire.
Yes, Faust.
The massive treasure lies deep underground, inert, unused, still waiting to be found. No thought has scope enough to comprehend such magnitude of riches without end. The highest flight of fantasy would strain to grasp the limits of such wealth in vain. But minds endowed with boundless faith can see to probe the depths of that infinity.
These notes are more convenient than gold or pearls, because they don't have to be sold. No need to haggle for a price. You may want wine or women. All you do is pay. If you want cash, the money changer's bound to help. And if he can't, you dig around, sell off a goblet or a golden chain, and you've redeemed your banknote once again. Soon, everyone will want to do the same, and those who doubt or mock be put to shame. Henceforth, you'll find throughout your land sufficient gold and jewels and notes to hand.
We owe this great prosperity to you. For such high service, high reward is due. To you who know where treasure can be found, we now entrust our wealth beneath the ground and place that hidden hoard in your protection to be recovered at your sole direction. I now bestow a gift on each of you, and you shall say what use you'll put it to.
I'll buy the best wines, never mind the price.
I feel my fingers itch to roll the dice.
I'll clear my castle and estate from debt.
I'll save it up. I'll be a rich man yet.
Why have you brought me to this gloomy den? There's no fun to be had out here. We ought to join the hurly-burly of the court and play some tricks on them again.
Don't give me any more of that cheap stuff. You've done it all before. I've had enough. You're just prevaricating so that you can wriggle out of what you have to do. The Emperor commands it as my duty to show him the ideal of human beauty. The living images, distinct and clear, of Helen and of Paris must appear. So quick, to work. I must not break my word.
To promise such a thing was quite absurd.
My friend, you did not bear in mind just where your tricks were leading you. We made him rich, and now we find we have to entertain him, too.
It's not so simply done. We stand before a steeper slope by far. You must explore the strangest sphere you have encountered yet. Such recklessness will only bring new debt. You think you can make Helen just appear like all that phantom money? I can show you witches' tricks, or ghosts and ghouls galore, or dwarfish changelings by the score. The devil's sweethearts have their charms, I know, but they won't pass as heroines, I fear. These heathens are best left alone. They have a hell all of their own. It can be done, though.
Tell me,
Right away.
Such secrets I'm reluctant to betray. Enthroned in solitude, remote, sublime, are deities beyond all space or time. Their name will make you quail when I reveal it. They are the Mothers.
Mothers?
Do you feel it?
The Mothers. Mothers? Yes, it sounds so strange.
These goddesses exist beyond the range of mortals. Even we avoid their name. To find them, you must fathom the abyss. And if we need them now, you are to blame.
Show me the way.
There is no way to this untrodden void where none may tread. This sphere where none has asked and none may ask to go. Here is a key. Now, take it. Hold it tight. Respect its power and you will understand.
This tiny thing. But it glows with light. It flashes now. It's growing in my hand.
That key will sense the way that you must go and lead you to the Mothers far below.
The Mothers? Still, it strikes me like a blow. Why do I shudder when I hear that word?
Like clouds, they'll drift around you on your way. Hold out the key to keep the wraiths at bay.
Ah, yes, I grasp it, and within my breast I feel new strength to go on this great quest.
You'll see a burning tripod, and you'll know you've reached the deepest of the depths below. The Mothers are reflected in its glow. Some sit, some stand, while others come and go, just as they please. Formation, transformation, eternal thoughts, eternal recreation. The forms of all created things drift near. They cannot see you. All they see is mere abstraction. But the danger here is such, you must be bold. You take the key and touch the tripod with it. It follows you. You are its master now. Good fortune buoys you up. You calmly rise and bring it back before they realize. Then, from the deepest night, you can retrieve the hero Paris and fair Helen too. And you have had the courage to achieve what none before has ever dared to do. A cloud of incense then, by magic art, will form the shapes of gods to play their part.
What now?
Downward your destination lies. Stamp and you'll sink, and stamping you will rise. I hope the key protects him down below. Will he come back? That's what I'd like to know. Oh, Mothers, Mothers, please let Faust go free.
Our Lord commands. The spectacle can start. Now let the curtain walls be opened wide. All things are possible through magic art. The woven tapestries are rolled aside. The wall divides, swings back, and has become a deep and spacious stage. A spectral sheen sheds a mysterious light across the scene. I, the court astrologer, mount the steps to the proscenium.
Astrologer, you know the rhythm of the stars, so you will understand me when I give the cue. With reverence, welcome this propitious hour. Let reason be enthralled to magic's power.
With reverence, welcome this propitious hour. Let reason be enthralled to magic's power, and boldly set imagination free into a world of splendid fantasy. You sought what is impossible, so you must now believe that what you see is true. With priestly robe and wreath, this Magus can complete the task he fearlessly began. A tripod rises from the vault below, and from its bowl sweet clouds of incense blow. His solemn work now nears its consecration. Good fortune will attend its consummation.
Oh, Mothers, you who rule in boundless state, communing yet eternally alone, The images of life, inanimate yet ever active, hover round your throne. All that once was and shone with radiant light moves there, for it would be eternal. You, almighty powers, can restore it to the canopy of day, the vault of night. While some are caught up in life's pleasant course, others the Magus seeks out at the source. And then with bold assurance, lavishly reveals his miracles for all to see.
The glowing key has touched the bone. A pall of misty vapor spreads throughout the hall. It swirls about in billowing clouds. It glides and flows. It gathers, merges, and divides. And now, a spirit masterpiece. All round, the drifting clouds give out a haunting sound. The hazy mist subsides, and as it clears, with measured steps, a handsome youth appears. I need not name him. You will recognize the lovely Paris here before your eyes.
The bloom of youthful radiance in the flesh. Just like a peach. So juicy and so fresh.
So delicate. That sweetly swelling lip.
Yes, I dare say you'd like to take a sip.
Oh, now he sits down. So gently, gracefully.
No doubt you'd rather be there on his knee.
How charmingly his arm rests on his head.
That's inexcusable. He's so ill-bred.
Oh, sleep overcomes him. Oh, what sweet repose.
True to life, he'll snore now, I suppose.
Those clouds of incense hold some fragrant balm that soothes my heart with such refreshing calm. One breath of it can fill the heart with joy. It comes from him.
Indeed, it is that boy who spreads his youthful fragrance everywhere. A sweet ambrosia that fills the air.
So, that's her then. She's pretty, I agree, but I'd be safe enough. She's not for me.
Have I still eyes? Or can the mind record the source of beauty flowing in full spate? My fearful quest has brought sublime reward. How empty was the world, how desolate before my priestly mission, how alluring now, how firmly founded and enduring. If I should weary of your company, then may I breathe my last and cease to be. That lovely form that once enchanted me within the magic mirror, that reflection, was but a fleeting glimpse of such perfection. I pledge to you all strength that stirs in me, the passion deep within me, my affection, my love, the worship of my frenzied soul.
Pull yourself together. Stick to your role.
She's tall and shapely, but her head's too small.
Look at her feet. No proper shape at all.
Like some princesses that I used to know. Beauties, all of them, from head to toe.
Indeed, as if from heaven she descends. She seems to want to drink his breath. She bends. A kiss. His cup is full, the lucky lad.
In front of everyone, this is too bad.
To lavish favours on that boy.
Be still. Keep quiet. Let the ghost do what it will.
She slips away as he begins to stir.
And now she's looking back, the little tease.
He thinks it is a miracle he sees.
He might. It's no miracle to her.
She turns to him, so gracious, so demure.
A boy no more. A hero now. His arms are round her. She can scarce resist his charms. He lifts her in his powerful embrace. Is he abducting her, perhaps?
Disgrace, rash fool, that is enough. How dare you?
No!
It's you that's putting on this phantom show.
I've one thing more to add. I name this play The Rape of Helen, as performed today.
How, rape? Am I not here? And in my hand, do I not hold this key that guided me across the fearsome waste, the surging sea of solitude, and brought me safe to land? This is reality. My spirit dares to struggle with these spirits and prepares to claim the double kingdom as its prize. She was so far, now here, before my eyes. I'll save her. She'll be mine in doubled bliss. Oh, mothers, mothers, you must grant me this. Who sees her can no longer live without her.
Faust, what is this? He throws his arms about her. He seizes her. The figure fades. Now he has turned towards the youth. And with the key, he touches him. Oh, what calamity!
To have to carry fools like this around can even break a devil's back, I've found. Poor wretch. Lie down and rest in here, you hopelessly besotted lover. If Helen's knocked you out, I fear your wits won't easily recover. It's just the same here. Faust's study. Everywhere I look, nothing has altered, not a single book. The coloured panes are duller now, I think. More spiders' webs, too, than there used to be. This paper's yellowed and the ink has dried, but all's in order still. And this must be the very quill Faust used when he assigned himself to me. Yes, inside there. A drop of blood's congealed with which the devil's document was sealed. It ought to be put on display. A real collector's piece, I'd say. And this old fur, still hanging on the door. In fact, I have a fancy to put on this reeking gown. I might be able to show off and play the don. But what's the use of such a title when there's no one to impress with my great knowledge? Aha! Of course, the bell.
What a clanging! What a shaking! Stairs are swaying! Walls are quaking! Burst wide open stands the door, so securely locked before. Look, in Faust's old gown, I swear I see a giant standing there. How he stares, it makes me freeze. I feel like falling on my knees.
Come in. You're Nicodemus, I've heard say.
I am, most reverend father. Let us pray.
Let's not.
I am so pleased you know my name.
Oh, yes. No youngster, but a student, all the same. Even the greatest mind, my moss-grown friend, must go on learning to the bitter end. We build our modest house of cards, but none will ever finish what he has begun. Your master, though, all men revere his name. Who has not heard of Dr. Wagner's fame? He is the leading scholar of his day, the single pillar of the world of learning, who treads the path of truth and lights the way. His reputation glitters, and his fame outshines all others we have ever known, obscuring even Faust's illustrious name. Of all inventive minds, he stands alone.
Oh, Reverend Sir, forgive me if I dare to contradict. My master does not care at all for fame or reputation. With pious modesty he follows his vocation. The great man's sudden disappearance left him quite inconsolable and bereft. His only comfort is to hope and yearn and count the days to Dr. Faust's return.
Your master is the man I came to see. So take me to him, or bring him to me.
But, sir, I would not dare to break my word. He gave strict orders not to be disturbed. He's lived for months in absolute seclusion and toils to bring the great work to conclusion. This gentlest of scholars labours there just like a charcoal burner. As he blows the fire, his eyes are reddened from the glare. His face is black with soot from ears to nose. He craves the moment consummation nears. The clattering tongues are music to his ears.
Then surely he will see me. I'm the man to help him out, if anybody can.
The bell tolls out its awful chime and echoes through the sooty walls. The weary and uncertain time is over, and fulfillment calls. The brightness in the glass is growing, and deep inside the phial gazing, I see a point of light, a glowing flame, like coal, like jewels blazing. A brilliant shaft, a pure white spark that shines and flashes in the dark. This time, I shall not fail for sure. Oh, God, who's rushing at the door?
Greetings. Goodwill and friendship bring me here.
Welcome. The hour of destiny is near. But hold your breath, I beg you, say no more. This glorious project must not be delayed.
Oh, what is it then?
A man is being made.
A man? Mm. So, have you got some amorous pair sealed in the chimney flue up there?
No, God forbid. Such crude and foolish passion is now completely out of fashion. Mankind, with all its gifts, is surely worth a far superior, nobler form of birth. He's coming. Look, that is a hopeful sign. For when so many substances combine, and if they have been fully integrated, then human tissue has coagulated. And if it's sealed within a flask and properly distilled, the task is done, and life has been created. It lives. It moves. The substance clears and flows, and every minute my conviction grows. Though nature's works were hid in mystery, our scientific skills have found the key. What her organic process has devised is now synthetically crystallized.
If you live long enough, like me, you learn there's nothing new under the sun.
It's rising, flashing, swelling more and more. Another moment and it will be done. The glass rings loudly with a pleasant tone. Again, it's growing cloudy, but it clears. It's worked at last. A tiny shape has grown. And now a dainty little man appears. What higher aspiration can there be? The mystery is there for all to see. And if we listen to the sound, we hear it turn into a voice that speaks out clear.
Well, Daddy dear, it was for real. I'm here. How are you? Give me a hug, but very lightly. The glass will shatter if you squeeze too tightly. That's how it is. The world's too small, I fear, for creatures of a natural kind. What's artificial needs to be confined. Oh, so you're here, cousin. At the right time, too, you clever rogue. I'm much obliged to you. It was most fortunate you came today. Now I exist, I must find things to do. I'd like to get to work without delay. You're just the one to help me on my way.
Let's give the little man something to do.
What's to be done?
It's here. Behind this door.
Remarkable.
Helen.
And what a remarkable dream he's having. A lovely scene.
Helen.
I see clear waters, bushes, women who undress. It's getting better. Oh, what loveliness. But one shines out above them all. For she must be divine or of heroic blood.
Helen.
Into the limpid stream she dips her feet and cools her noble body's living heat within the softly yielding crystal flood. But now the rapid beat of wings is heard. What frantic dashing, splashing has disturbed the placid pools. The women flee. The queen alone looks calmly on the hectic scene. And with a woman's pride, she smiles to see the Prince of Swans, who nestles at her knee, so tame and yet persistent as a lover. He settles to her now, but mists arise, and with impenetrable veils they cover the loveliest of visions from our eyes.
This is pure fantasy. You may be small, but all these tales you tell are pretty tall. I can't see anything.
That's no surprise. You're from the north. You grew up in a pool of monkish gloom and chivalry. Your eyes are not accustomed to the light. You only feel at home in fog and night. This grimy, mouldering, repellent masonry, these gothic arches, all this florid tracery, it's so debased. If he wakes up, he'll not survive. He'll drop dead on the spot. His mind is haunted by auspicious dreams of naked beauty, swans, and woodland streams. This is no place for him. I'm pretty easy, but I can't stand it here. It makes me queasy. We must get him away.
Indeed. But how?
Today's the date, if memory serves me right, of classical Valpurgis night. We simply couldn't find a better cure. That is his proper element for sure.
What's that? I don't believe a word of it.
How could you possibly have heard of it? Romantic ghosts and ghouls are all you know. Classical phantoms are the real ones, though.
Where do we go? I'm not too keen to see colleagues from classical antiquity.
You haunt the northwest, Satan, but today it's to the southeast. We must make our way. Past cool, secluded bays and bushy banks, all fringed with trees. Peneus wanders through a mighty plain. Vassalus, old and new, stands high upon the mountain's craggy flanks.
Some Brocken tricks might do it, I suppose. I just don't understand these heathens, though. I never liked the Greeks. Oh, yes, I know. They dazzle you with beauty and entice your senses with the most beguiling vice. Our sins are very dull compared with those.
Then wrap your cloak around our sleeping friend as you have done before, and it will bear you both upon your journey through the air. I light the way.
Am I not coming too?
You must stay here. You have great work to do. Look out the ancient manuscripts. Collect life's building blocks in order, one by one. Assemble them with caution and reflect on what to do, but more on how it's done. While I go out into the world and try to find the dots to put upon the eye. Such effort will bring which reward to those who can succeed in such a lofty aim? Good health, long life, with honour, wealth and fame. Knowledge and virtue too, perhaps. Who knows? Goodbye.
Dear boy, farewell. My heart is heavy, for I fear I may not see you any more.
We'll circle round, high above the plain below. Ghostly fires on the ground cast an eerie spectral glow.
In the gloomy north, I've seen many ghastly phantoms roam. Looking at this dismal scene, I feel perfectly at home.
Our friend must stand with his feet upon the plain. In this fabled wonderland, he'll soon come to life again.
Where is she?
That I couldn't say, but someone here should know the way. You still have time enough to go among these flames before it's day. You dared to face the mother, so you'll not be daunted here, I know.
I too have things to do. So, I suggest that for each one of us it would be best to wander through the flames tonight and seek our own adventures where we can. And then, to summon us, the little man should ring his glass and guide us with his light.
This is how I'll flash. That's how I'll ring. Let's see what marvels this strange night will bring.
Where is she? Do you need to ask for more? Though this is not the land where she was young, nor this the wave that broke upon her shore, it is the air that spoke her mother tongue. What miracle has brought me here to stand upon the soil of Greece, her native land? I woke refreshed, and Antaeus-like I found my strength returning as I touched the ground. This labyrinth of flames I shall explore, and see what prodigies it has in store.
I'm ill at ease among this maze of flame. The creatures here are practically nude. It's scandalous. The sphinxes have no shame. The griffins are impertinently rude. Inspect them from the front or from behind. They've very little on but fur or feather. We're thoroughly indecent, but I find antiquity too lifelike altogether. We cover things with fig leaves nowadays to hide such details from the public gaze. Oh, disgusting. Still, don't let it bother you. Greet them politely, as a guest should do. Greetings, lovely ladies. Ah, sphinxes. I find I'm quickly getting used to you, and I can understand your language, too.
We breathe our spirit tones. Your ear lends its own meaning to the sounds you hear. We do not know you yet. What is your name?
Well, I'm called many things. Such is my fame. Are any Britons here? A restless race. They look for battlefields and waterfalls, obscure and ancient sites with crumbling walls. They'd be quite delighted with this place. What are those birds that come to nest among the poplars by the river there?
Be on your guard. The noblest and the best have fallen for their siren song. Take care.
Sounds just bore me. Flowing melodies combining, notes and voices intertwining. All that noise does nothing for me. I hear them warbling, but their art doesn't really move my heart.
Your heart, indeed. What vanity. A shriveled leather bag would be more suited to a face so tart.
What wonders here. It lifts my heart to see such greatness in these monstrous forms impressed. I feel good fortune will attend my quest. This solemn spectacle entrances me. Once Oedipus encountered such a sphinx as these, and their siren song bewitched the bound and writhing Ulysses. I feel fresh life, new spirit through me surging, in these great forms, great memories emerging.
You would have scorned such beasts before, but I can see you've changed your mind. Now it's a lover you're looking for. You welcome every monster you can find.
Now answer me, for you are women too. Was Helen ever seen by one of you?
We did not live to see such times as these. The last of us was slain by Hercules. You should ask Chiron. He will surely know. On nights like this, he gallops to and fro.
You will do well if you can stop him, though.
Find great Chiron. He will know how to help you. Quickly, go.
Do I hear the earth resounding with a horse's rapid pounding? What do I see over there? Can it be some happy chance has brought the miracle I sought? It is a horseman coming near, endowed with wisdom without fear. His shining mount as white as snow. I see him now. Can it be true? It is Philyra's son, I know. Stop! Chiron, stop! I have to speak to you.
What is it?
Curb your speed. I beg you, stay!
I do not rest.
Please, help me on my way.
Hey, climb on my back and tell me as we ride where you would go. Don't stand there on the bank. I'll gladly take you to the other side.
No matter where. Forever I will thank the great and noble pedagogue. The same who raised a race of heroes to his glory? You will not contradict me when I say you knew the finest heroes of your day. What of the finest woman, though?
A woman's beauty is a pose. Too often just a lifeless face. But I reserve my praise for those whose lives are filled with joy and grace. For beauty is aloof, apart, while grace alone can move the heart. As Helen did the time I bore her on my back.
This very seat? I was confused enough before, but now my rapture is complete.
She grasped my hair and held it tight, just as you do.
What sheer delight! Oh, I am lost beyond recall. She is my sole desire, my all. Why should my passionate desire not seek to draw back into life the most unique, immortal creature born to be divine, in whom proud grandeur and sweet grace combine? You saw her once. Today I saw her too. Such charm, such beauty as I never knew. She holds my thoughts, my very self, in thrall. Without her now, I cannot live at all.
Such rapture makes a man seem quite estranged. We spirits, though, would say you are deranged. But as it happens, you're in luck today. For every year, for just a while, I pay a visit to the Sibyl Manto, daughter of Aesculapius, who spends her days communing with her father, as she prays to him to make the doctors change their ways and save the patients from their reckless slaughter. Of all the Sibyl's guild, I like her best. She's good and kind, not crazy like the rest. And if you spend some time with her, I'm sure her potions will provide a thorough cure.
I'll not be healed with treatment of that kind. It would demean me. I am sound of mind.
The healing spring is what you need, it seems. Dismount. Don't miss your chance. We are quite near. Look yonder. Bathed in solemn moonlight, see the place where the eternal temple stands.
The threshold rings with horses' hooves. What brings these demigods so near?
Indeed. Awake. See who is here.
Welcome. You have returned, I see.
As long as your temple stands, I will.
Are you still roaming tirelessly?
Around you, all is calm and still. But I prefer to wander free.
I sit while time encircles me. Who's this?
The wild night's swirling tide has swept this madman to your side. Helen has set his heart on fire. Helen is his sole desire. He's lost and looking for a guide. He badly needs your help.
I love those best who make what is impossible their quest. Be glad, rash lover. This dark gallery will lead us downwards to Persephone, where in Olympus' hollow caverns hidden, she waits for those who seek what is forbidden. I smuggled Orpheus down here long ago. Take heart. Don't waste your chance as he did, though.
I handle northern witches as I please, but I can't cope with foreign ghosts like these. The Brocken's a much better stamping ground, where you can always find your way around. Alluring shapes that sway as they advance. A wicked chorus in a teasing dance. Tread softly now. You've had such treats before. There's always something that's worth looking for. Since Adam, men have been traduced, deceived, bamboozled, and seduced. Old age makes us no wiser. You're more stupid than you were before. I know they're worthless, with their painted faces, their bodies corseted with stays and laces. Unwholesome, too. Whichever part you touch, that sagging flesh is flaccid to the touch. You know, you feel it, see it, clear as day. But still, you dance the tune these bitches play.
There's lots of us.
Just have a go and try your luck.
You never know what hidden charms you might discover.
For all your talk and all your leering, all your swaggering and sneering, you are a lamentable lover.
He's coming now. When he gets near, take off your masks and let him see just how attractive we can be.
Oh, I'll take the prettiest one here. Oh, the skinny broomstick. What a sight. And this one. She looks a fright.
You randy devil. Serves you right.
That little lizard over there, smooth as a snake, with glossy hair. Oh, wriggled through my hands. Maybe this lanky one will fancy me. I've grabbed a thyrsus wand instead. It's got a pine cone for a head. Whatever next? Oh, this fat one might arouse my jaded appetite. One last try. Oh, what a fleshy beast. All squishy, squashy. My, she's loaded. She'd fetch a good price in the East. A puffball. Damn. No, she's exploded. These masquerades are all the same. Just some kind of licentious game. Those lovely masks were a delusion. Loathsome creatures. Horrid. Vile. I'd gladly fall for their illusion if they weren't quite so volatile. Ah, but in the bushes there, I see a light that glimmers modestly. What happy chance has guided us. It is indeed homunculus. Well, little man, where are you bound?
I float about and hung around. I'd like to break the confines of my jar so in the truest sense I can exist. But everything I've seen so far has made it all too easy to resist. Between ourselves, I overheard these two philosophers, Thales and Anaxagoras, who seem to be discussing nature. Nature was the word. And now I mustn't let them go. They surely know about the world. Maybe they'll finally enable me to find out what I want to know.
Why not do it your own way, though? You'll make mistakes, but still, you should persist. Your own way's best if you want to exist.
But they might have some good advice for me.
Well, off you go and ask them. We shall see.
Thales, will nothing ever change your stubborn mind? What further reasons do I have to find?
Anaxagoras, to win the wave will offer no resistance, but from the jagged rock it keeps its distance.
This rock exists through incandescent force.
Of all life, water is the primal source.
Please let me go along with you. I'm seeking an existence too.
Why don't you look at the evidence? That's what I asked you.
Steep and stony pathways, stumbling and tripping on roots of ancient oak trees, sliding and slipping.
Revere the grove of sacred oaks you have entered here.
In the dim light of that cavern there, I see three huddled figures. What are these?
The Forecats. Approach them if you dare, and speak to them. But mind, your blood may freeze.
Why not? Oh, what a sight. It takes your breath away. I thought I'd seen it all, but I must say I've never seen the like of these before. Oh, they're even worse than mandrakes, that's for sure. The vilest sin could never be one half as ugly as the three in this unwholesome trinity. We wouldn't even let them dwell in the ghastliest corner of our hell. Here, in this ancient land of beauty, we can still find relics of antiquity. They stir. They sense my presence. Pipe and squeak like vampire bats. Now they begin to speak.
Sisters, give me the eye so it can see who dares to trespass on our sanctuary.
Permit me, honoured ladies, to draw near, to ask your threefold blessing. I am here. Although we've not been introduced before, we share a distant kinship, I am sure. But creatures such as you I never saw. I stand here speechless, with delight and awe.
This spirit seems to talk quite sensibly.
How is it that no poet ever thought to sing your praise? No artist ever wrought your noble features for posterity? Why carve a Juno, Pallas, Venus too, when they could fashion images of you?
Hold your tongue, and do not make us long for what can never be. Why tempt us so?
In darkness born, to darkness we belong. Unknown to all, ourselves we scarcely know.
It can be done, if you find someone who is keen to take on your identity. One eye, one tooth's enough for three of you. So three could be united into two. Such things can happen in mythology. And then the third could lend her shape to me, just for a while.
I don't know. Shall we try?
Why not?
But we must keep the tooth and the eye.
But that deprives me of the best effect. The image would not be at all correct.
It's very simple. All you have to do is close an eye of their fang and you would have a perfect profile. It would be as if you were one of the family.
Oh, how flattering. Let's try it.
There! It's done!
So, here I stand. Old Chaos' favourite son.
We're Chaos Daughters who, beyond a doubt...
I'm a hermaphrodite. I have come out. I'll have to go and hide in hell. This sight would give the fiends down there a dreadful fright.